On this episode of Scammer Stories, a scammer uses a fake $8 million savings account to lure in a victim in a huge web of lies that ended up putting a woman in the middle of a scam with other victims. We're going to tell you how she was able to get out of this mess and how she got involved in the first place. We're calling this victim Laura. Here's Laura's story. Okay, so tell us just a little bit about yourself. If you can.
Okay. Like what?
Well,
like my demographic and
yeah. I mean, I know that victims are often skeptical to reveal anything, but you know, sometimes people just say, you know, I'm divorced or I'm a mom.
Divorced mom. Correct.
Okay.
Divorced mom. My kids are a little bit older, so I'm not super young. And I'm certainly not super old. I'm in, you know, my 50s.
Okay, so tell me what was going on when this whole nightmare started.
Well, I had been about 4 years single and was ready to start dating. I had gone on a couple of dating sites already and went to one that I had been on previously and maybe had some fond memories of it because I met somebody that I really liked. And we became friends for several years, but alas, that situation did not work out. And so I was back at it. OkCupid was where this person that I met was on. But prior to that, I had been on a couple other sites and gone on a few dates. And one of them was with an agricultural engineer. That didn't work out. But then I met this guy. He reached out and asked me if I wanted to chat, and his profile was very in-depth, handsome man by this ocean, kind of one of my things. I'm a water person. I like the waters. Kind of took a thoughtful, really thoughtful approach to his site.
That's not uncommon. The scammers spend a lot of time honing their words to make their profiles the most attractive to women. This particular woman is a deep thinker that I picked up on before the interview even began. She thought a lot about just the pros and cons of doing this interview and was actually doing meditation to calm her mind when I called. So they started chatting. He said that he was from about an hour away from her and was looking for a home in the area with his best friend.
I said I wasn't really interested in commuting with anybody. And he said, oh, I'm happy to drive down. I'm like, oh, well, as long as you're happy to do it, go ahead. And he just became very forward. And we ended up calling each other on the phone and we were going to go on a date. He was very slow to reveal his information, like in a way. Now, when everything that I think about how he laid out the information to get to know him was incredibly strategic. So not giving too much information, talked about his daughter, connected with me about children, said his daughter died of a heart issue. So it was very emotional. This is in the first 2 to 3 weeks of knowing him, getting kind of weepy on the phone, being really energetic about our connection.
What did he sound like on the phone? Did he have an accent?
He did have an accent, and I couldn't pin it. He said he was from Turkey.
That's where my mom's scammer said he was from too.
Ooh. Yeah. And I was like, okay, so, you know, and, that didn't really bother me. Wasn't an issue. And he mentioned he was in construction. Oddly, his accent was weird and he would say constructions. And I'm like, okay, yeah, whatever.
It's kind of like when people say the Walmarts.
Right, the Walmarts. You know, and I figured that had to do with his accent, which was completely forgivable. Incredibly handsome person. And then gradually layered in that he also, this is kind of funny, also mentioned that his father was in the mining industry. And I'm like, okay, you know, I visualize somebody with coal all over their face and dirty. And he later revealed that his father owned a coal mine and just kind of set the stage that he's wealthy and has these very ambitious businessmen.
Scammers like to dangle carrots that promise huge rewards. In my mom's scam, it was a diamond mine in Turkey.
Later, you know, said he was working on a proposal. You know, what's the proposal about? Oh, just to work on a job site. Later revealing the job site is in Austria at an oil mining refinery. And he's there to secure some, I don't even know what the project was. And he won this bid from this Botas petroleum company. And it was a $28 million bid. He showed me the email, you know, like he just kind of layered in all these little things to kind of say, oh, I'm a real human being. And we kept, you know, making plans to get together. And at the same time, you know, that this bid came through for his job. I mean, he said he owned a construction business eventually. He didn't like reveal that instantly in our conversations. He's actually, well, he's not, but he said he was a civil engineer. And he seemed to know what he was talking about. I'm like, okay, well, I can buy that. I guess you became a civil engineer. You come from a wealthy mining family. Your daughter passed away of a horrible heart disease.
There's always a sob story, often involving children.
Your divorce was wicked. Your wife cheated on you. You've just been dealt a huge blow and you're ready to get back in the dating world. And here I am, just like the one that he meets, that just is like the biggest connection that he's ever found.
Okay. So then he makes a plan to come see you. And then what happened?
So then after that, then lo and behold, he wins the bid to go to Austria and he has to fly off before our first date. But even played that he would come down by my job and we would meet for a moment, you know, and just say before he had to fly off. Well, you know, of course, that never happened. And landed in Austria and, you know, kind of played the few 2 weeks of like everything was great, work was great, all the people there were great, and sent me photos of what he was doing. And suddenly he couldn't get into his bank account, and he was, you know, he was upset with that. And he said, I've got this link to my bank, and I want to see that my funds are okay. And I'm like, and I'm like, because I can't access any money for this job site to do whatever the project was, you know, so he's having issues as it related to his work. And so I logged in, he sent me this link and I logged in his bank at Benchmark Bank. And there he had about $600,000 in his bank account and $8 million in his savings account. And I was like, holy shit.
Wow.
Excuse my French. I was like, oh my God, good job, dude. Good job. You know, because at this point I just sort of believed who he was, you know, seemed a little eccentric and different, but I'm not one of those kind of people that, I know a lot of weird people.
Yeah. Gotcha.
So anyway, then.
Well, wait, do you think, so he was able to set up a fake bank account online for you to look at?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes, he did that. He did many different horrible things and got me to do many different horrible things that eventually, it was an 8-month time period. And like, I just throughout, I was like, your lawyer's an idiot. You're an idiot businessman. And what is going on? And I, every turn, there was always a problem. But then there was this like desperate, like, I love you. Everything's going to be okay. I'm going to make it right for you. But anyway, so he's setting up this plot. The plot was, or the main problem was, one day he sent me a photo of somebody in the hospital. It looked like this guy intubated, really messed up, bruises all over his face. I'm like, is that you? What, you know, what's going on? And we were texting. He said, that's his assistant, that the Austrian guy. He was injured at the work site. His life is in danger, and because he's already established his bank account is frozen, that he has to pay for this medical care for his employee, and comes to find out that this employee is actually part of the Austrian mafia.
Oh, nice little twist there.
Nice little twist. And that the police are suspicious he had something to do with the injury of this man. And he was crying. He was desperate and frantic. He's like so worried they were going to arrest him. And he needed $10,000 for a procedure for this guy. I think his name was Mr. Cooper. I don't remember exactly. That seems to be a familiar name in the scamming land.
The problem is there are so many details with this scam that it's hard to remember them all.
It is very layered. You know, he did things that challenged my integrity. He did everything. To be honest, when I found out, I had to find out from my bank that I was being scammed.
Well, good for them, though, for learning
you. I know.
You.
I mean, honestly, I'm like, I was I'm so grateful.
Tell me what the phone call was like.
It was a tough call. She was like, where is this money coming from? Who is it going to? And the situation was almost desperate on my end, because from where I was at, it was this last crescendo to get this guy home so that he could pay me back what he was stealing from me. And we could kind of move on with our lives. And so I was thinking that this is stopping my life from proceeding forward when she was talking to me. And also not going to get my money back that I loaned him. And by this time, I had taken out a $30,000 loan. I had maxed my credit cards. And when I was in the place of, I have to take care of this debt that is $60,000 plus what I've lost, you know, on my shoulders. So it was a network of him scamming other people and me being caught in the middle of all these. It was a maze, I think. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's like it was a web of people being scammed. I'm pretty sure. My hunch tells me.
And once you've processed it and looking back, you think, okay, he was using me to scam other people. Is that what you mean by he tested your integrity?
I didn't scam other people. No, he was using me to transfer the money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I meant. Yeah. He was. He was using you to transfer the money between.
And like, I didn't know what that, I just was like, I am doing the craziest, dumbest shit and I'm like angry that I'm doing it at him, and I'm angry with him, and yet passionately in love at the same time. It was one of the most diabolical things I think somebody could do to somebody. Also, through the process of, you know, challenging my integrity as the plot thickens in the actions he's taking, and also at some point in time, you know, creating this plot, he was going to be hauled back to prison because suddenly he's on house arrest in Austria, and since the mafia is after him, he has to hire police agents, police officers to protect him while he's in house arrest until he can come up with a certain dollar amount. I'm like, why don't you have insurance? Why is your lawyer not helping you? Why is this such an idiotic thing?
When your bank called you, did you believe them when you got off the phone?
Mm-hmm. No.
So what? How were you convinced? That's the biggest question I get from people, is how to convince a victim. So what happened?
The woman that wired money to my bank, she was supposedly a colleague of his business partner whom he had very problematic issues with. And they were sort of, he was also had this sub story of the troubles with his business partners and how they're not giving him his share of the business that he's trying to buy out of so that he can branch off and go do his own business. So this is part of the deal to settle that business transaction with his company. So she was wiring XYZ to me and I was going to send it to him through Bitcoin, obviously. After the bank representative, fraud representative called me, the next day I got a call the timing is off on my memory.
But mine too. I've written it down time. And I still have a hard time. So yeah, the time frame is, I get it.
She called me and said, do you know a guy named so-and-so? And I'm like, no, I don't know this person. He's from Syria. I'm that lady from California. I'm also a divorced mom of a kid. And I have this other story about her guy was on a military base. And so this explosion went off full of ammunition. And this guy was being held responsible because they were in Syria. And somehow I was the person that he knew that she was to get the money to so that he could resolve his issue in Syria. I'm like, I don't know who this fool is. She's like, well, I'm calling the police. I'm doing all this. I'm like, I didn't even know this woman from anywhere. And I don't know how she got my number.
Okay. But she was another victim calling you to alert you, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Yes. She's like, you have to go to the police. And he said, that's what the bank rep said. And I'm a little numb in disbelief here. And I feel a little shocked and I don't know who you are. And, you know, this is kind of freaking me out. And then at some point, it was about a week went by. She called me again. She asked me if I went to the police. She's like, get off the phone and go to the police. And something clicked to me. And I just said, okay. And I went and I was like a hot mess bawling at the police station and had a fantastic police officer take my report.
Are you being sarcastic or serious?
No, completely serious.
Oh,
I'm sorry if it came off that way. No,
I'm just surprised. That's why I thought you were being sarcastic.
No, I know, it's hard to tell. No, she's like, you were a victim. She kept reminding me, you were the victim. I'm like,
wow, that's wonderful news. So many police officers have been horrible to scam victims.
I know.
So
no,
this
I know.
Is good
she was
news.
Good.
Awesome.
Yeah, it was good. I ended up making the report, and I think what saved me was doing that, you know. And I just responded to the fraud rep at my bank and said, I made the police report. Here's the number. Thanks for letting me know about this. I'm very grateful. Kind of just like, what else can I say? And then I spent the next 2 months trying to figure out how to handle the debt I was in. And I ended up filing bankruptcy, completely mortified when I find out. Then I became suicidal. Like after I made the police report and I didn't know what to do, I was so ashamed and so mortified and so violated. I was awful.
Laura knows once you're scammed, your name goes on a list. The morning of this interview, she was targeted but moved on. Laura believes she now has PTSD from the experience, but she's moved on and found love with a boyfriend. The good news is she was able to break free. So many don't. If you have a story you'd like to share, you can email me at scammerstoriespodcast@gmail.com. Until next time, Scammer Warriors.